I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's our good friend, TJ Zuppi. And, of course, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He calls the Athletic Home these days. Hello, TJ. How are you?
Hello, TJ.
You know, guys, after 4 days in Vegas, I can assure you, I have no crystal ball.
Do you have Mike Tyson's Tiger, by any chance?
I don't have Mike Tyson's Tiger. Hotel room wasn't quite the scene of the hangover.
Okay. But, funny, because I heard there was a mattress hanging on outside.
Let me check. I still have all my teeth.
What's there to do in
no tattoos? Good.
No facial tattoos. What is there to do? Yeah, what isn't there to do? It's really a weird place to hold the winter meetings.
Good idea or bad idea?
No, I mean it was fine, but it's so. I mean, when you go to Vegas, you're there to have fun, right? So
right.
You're not thinking about work. But I arrive there in Vegas, and then I start seeing other media people from different cities that I know walking the streets as my Uber's pulling up to the hotel. You walk through the lobby, and you see different people from baseball. It was like a colliding of two worlds where, oh, yeah, I'm here to work, but also here's slot machines and blackjack tables and places to go have fun. So it was kind of weird. And then we're in the Mandalay Bay, and – as you guys probably are familiar with, you can walk through the Mandalay Bay to other casinos. You never really have to go outside. So there was like 2 or 3 days in, I had realized I haven't been outside in a couple of days. I probably should go do that. So one night we broke away and went over to the Venetian for a night of some fun to have some dinner at one point. But yeah, it was a weird environment to be there to do the winter meetings at that place.
So my question for you is, what was your altitude when the trade went down yesterday? Because everybody seems to have been at a different altitude when it happened.
So Zach Meisel, of course, my cohort over at The Athletic.
Who has a great piece about it, too, by the way.
And I rode to the airport at the same time. And I just talked about this on our podcast, so I'll give it a shameless plug to myself and our own podcast, LB's Godcast, if you want some more information. I'm getting ready to tweet it out in a little bit, so keep it locked in my Twitter feed.
Okay.
But so I am riding in the same Uber as Zach. We both fly out at the same time, but I'm on a different airline. He's flying Southwest. I'm flying Spirit. And so you don't know. We knew that the Indians front office was leaving at around the same time. But we didn't know what airline, what flight, at what point they would be departing officially. So it was kind of like walking in and to use another Vegas term, it was like playing roulette. I didn't know. I could walk in and see them on my flight. I didn't know. So I ended up going a different part of the airport. They went to their part of the airport for their Southwest flight. So I get there, I plop down, and Zach had sent me a text, hey, I think something's up. And at that point, we had kind of had an idea that Santana rumor was pretty legitimate, had some different little bits and pieces that we had heard, nothing enough to paint a full picture, but just enough to kind of keep your antenna up. And he was watching the front office there from their concourse and waiting to jump on the flight. He says, I think something's up. So I end up getting on the plane, and I'm following along, and that's when it might have been John Heyman or Jeff Passan, somebody else broke the initial news that it was happening, but not all of the details yet, just that Carlos Santana was coming to the Indians. And Zach and I had been talking, so I knew that was pretty legitimate. But then he was on the same flight and was able to get more details. Now, my Wi-Fi wasn't working either because there was no Wi-Fi on my flight. So once the door closed and I tweeted out some things initially, it was over for me. I had 4 hours of being on a flight of not knowing what's happening on the world below me.
Oh man!
And for Zach, it was sort of the same thing because their Wi-Fi didn't kick in until later, but he at least had the greatest resource of all time sitting 3 rows behind him. So I was completely jealous. And of course, if you haven't read the story yet, go over to The Athletic, subscribe, because it is a hell of a story. And he, to his credit, you know, so much of this is just being at the right place at the right time. And Zach was lucky enough to be at the right place at the right time, but you also got to hit it out of the park and write a great story with it. And Zach did that.
He did. He really did. Yeah, I've read it twice now. I think it's just great. It really gives you a peek into how some of these things work when you're trying to cover them and trying to find out how people are getting information. Because we were on the air yesterday, and we were trying to put all the pieces together live on the air too. So But let's go into the trade itself. Are the Indians winners or losers in this trade? Or is it to be determined?
I don't know. And Antonetti told us a couple of days into the meetings something that I think is important to bring back now. He had said that a lot of the things they're talking about are all intertwined. They all go together. It's not just one trade specifically, just looking at that, and that's it. So much of what they're doing this offseason is connected, whether it's their trades, whether it's how they're approaching free agency. And so it makes it difficult, whether it was the Gomes trade or this trade, to just grade them based just on that deal, because it goes deeper than that. Everything they're trying to accomplish here is sort of lined up like dominoes. And this is just one of the early dominoes in that stage. We don't know what they're going to do with this flexibility that they've created for themselves in 2019. If they turn around and don't spend it, then I think there's going to be some reason to be up in arms about that. You know, they need to try to win in 2019, and I know they're trying to build for the future too. And it's a weird way of trying to kind of fight a battle on both fronts here of getting both of those things done, but they think they can do it. And well, I give them credit. I give them credit because they're trying here to go about things in a way that's really difficult to thread the needle. The question is, can they get all that done? I don't know if they can, but I give them credit for trying to step outside the box and do something different, because I don't think status quo was going to work this upcoming year.
TJ, when you think about it, though, they still have the luxury of the division they're in, and it doesn't look like there's an immediate concern about too much of the rest of the division. But I said earlier that if you just look at what they did yesterday, they're not a better team today than they were yesterday, so there has to be more to it.
Agreed, and that's where I was kind of going to get to next. It's both of these trades that happened, whether it was Gomes or whether it was this three-team deal, doesn't initially give you any sense that they're better after making them. It's about, so this flexibility that they've created financially for themselves, and maybe it goes beyond that with the move that they might make with either Trevor Bauer or Corey Kluber. What do you turn around and do with that? You know, why did you create it? What are you going to do with that space? If it helps them fill more holes here in the roster through free agency or making another deal, then it's going to start to make some more sense. But right now, we're only looking at two small little segments of what is going to become a bigger picture. What I think is important to keep in mind, and just, again, we talked about this on the podcast too, you don't want to be in a position where you're trading Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer from any sense of desperation at all. You've got two guys that are projected frontline starters. Kluber has been one, and Bauer certainly looks like he's gotten to that point in his career. You've got them for multiple years, Bauer 2, Kluber 3. You can't trade either one of those guys and not come away from that deal feeling really good about it. You can't settle in a move like that. Previously, when they didn't have a lot of this flexibility that they have been coveted and needing through these deals, when they didn't have that, it was a question of, could they make themselves better without trading one of those guys? And if they didn't trade one of those guys and they didn't clear the space, were they going to be stuck in a position where they couldn't do much and then be putting themselves in a situation where they don't have a ton of leverage in these talks because teams know that they need to clear some space and they know that if they just wait out the Indians long enough, they could probably get the price down? It's less of a situation where they have to feel that way now because they have moved some money with Gomes. They have moved some money and lengthened it out, basically, between the Edwin and Santana swap. Now you've created some flexibility for yourself, so you don't have to be pressured into making a Kluber or Bauer trade and making it from a stance of desperation. They couldn't feel that if they were going to trade one of these guys. And we know that from everything that we've heard, they have a really, really high price tag on both of those guys, as they should, and they shouldn't settle for anything less than that.
Right, I totally agree. But on the other hand, looking from the other club's points of view, the Bauer and Kluber with their contract situations don't come along every day. So you'd think while there wouldn't be desperation on the Indians' part, you would think there would be desperation on some of these teams that have a lot of money and a lot of assets to trade.
And that's why you want to feel like you have all the leverage. You don't want to, in a position where you have these two guys that should be really highly coveted, you should not be in a position where you don't hold all the cards, so to speak, to use another Vegas term. I mean, if you're trading one of those guys and you don't get back everything that you wanted, then what were you making the trade for?
Yeah,
and if it was just for flexibility, then that's not good enough. I'm sorry. There's just that is not enough to justify giving away, no matter how you feel about Bieber and the rest of your depth. That's not good enough to justify trading one of those guys. And I think that this trade and the Gomes trade puts them in a position where they do have some more leverage. And the other part of this, too, we haven't talked about it, they really like Jake Bowers. And this is a kid that has been a top prospect in baseball for quite a few years now, that they like that he can play first and corner outfield. They think of him probably long-term as their first baseman of the future. And the numbers weren't spectacular last year, but he's also 22, 23 years old. And to be able to at least kind of hold his own, I think he was like 5% below average in offense last year, which isn't awful for a 22, 23-year-old player. I think there's some hope there that he's going to continue to get better and maybe even long-term project into being the sort of player that sort of looks like Santana, where he might not have a great average, but he's going to get on base a ton and have a little bit of pop and play some solid defense over at first base.
TJ, let me throw this at you, and I know you didn't write this. Hoynsey wrote this, but I thought it was really interesting, and I want to get your take on the last line of this. He said, could Alonso or Kipnis, talking about getting them trades, so they could keep the rotation intact for next year, for at least one more year? And then this is the line he said, as long as Kluber and Bauer can coexist. What do you think when I say that to you? As long as Kluber and Bauer can coexist.
Well, issues? Wait, what was that last thing?
I'm saying are the issues between the two guys in the clubhouse.
I don't think they sit down and have tea together.
Okay.
if that's what you're asking.
Well, I mean, their personalities are so different.
Exactly. I don't know that starting pitchers need to have tea together.
That's going to be my point. They might not be the best of friends just because they are so different, because Kluber is a guy that's so reserved and doesn't like to talk about himself and isn't one to chase the spotlight. Bauer is one that doesn't mind talking, doesn't mind giving his opinion. So I could see where there would be times where Kluber might look over there and kind of roll his eyes. Okay, that's Trevor being Trevor. But there's two sides to this. One, if both of them are pitching their asses off like they did last year, it's amazing how no one really cares. I mean, as long as the team's winning and everyone's doing their job. And the most important thing is that players just want to feel like the guy that they're in the bunker there with is working his ass off and is doing everything he can to be the best player he can be. And I don't think either one of themselves question the other one. It's clear that Trevor is out there doing everything he can to make himself better, and it's never been a question about Kluber. The other thing is starting pitchers don't have to ever interact. They never work together outside of maybe, hey, I saw you were doing this with your arm through your follow through, or hey, I noticed this, you might be tipping a pitch here. I mean, outside of maybe some conversations about scouting reports, they never have to interact whatsoever. So it's different than like in another sport where maybe a quarterback and a receiver can't get on the same page, or a safety and linebacker are pissed at each other and they keep blowing coverages. Even if Bauer and Kluber absolutely hated each other, I'm not saying that they do, but even if they did, they don't have to do much. The only maybe thing you would worry about is if it got like to a point where they were legitimately really, really mad at each other and it was forming some sort of chasm in the locker room where guys were choosing sides. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's to that level. Like I said, it's much more about you have two guys that are really talented, that have two different philosophies, and maybe just do things a different way. But at the end of the day, they're both concerned about winning, and that's the most important thing.
TJ, I don't know if they're going to spend money to get somebody or overspend it as part of a trade. There is a guy available that can help him. His name is Michael Brantley.
Yeah, and I get that, but I also don't – I think that ship has sailed unless something really drastically changes in Brantley's market. I mean, from everything that we've heard so far, they're seeking a multi-year deal, and not to say he doesn't deserve it because he's been a very strong offensive player, and when he's healthy, there's no doubt about his ability. But long-term, isn't he best served to be a first baseman or a DH? I think so.
Yeah, probably.
And the Indians, I mean, they've gotten away with playing him in left
field. Three of them
now. They've gotten away with playing him in
left
field.
We don't know if he can play first.
True. Long-term, where he fits positionally, that's a question. And I think at this point, when they have to be conscious of every last dollar that they spend, I don't know where exactly he fits right now. Now, maybe the market changes. Maybe he doesn't find what he's looking for. Maybe the Indians strike out in a couple other places and – who knows? Things can change. That's if there's anything so far this offseason has taught us, it's that things can change very, very quickly based on one phone call. But I don't think right now, based on the way things are aligned, that marriage will happen on either side.
Gotcha. Hey, TJ, thank you very much. Hang on the line for a second, though. We're going to put you on hold for a second, or just because I want to catch up with some other stuff. But TJ Zuppi, make sure you check him out in The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.